The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. I don't know how relevant this is, but considering we have Neil Greenberg, the official analytics expert of the B. Mitchell Finley program. Unfortunately, there's no financial compensation for that title.
He gets a lot of recognition.
That's right.
Yeah.
This seems relevant, Greenberg. Our dear friend Wendy of Wendy Knows Sports fame sent me an email and sent the whole company an email. Good afternoon. I have a couple of tickets to Iron Maiden in Baltimore.
Whoa.
Do you want Iron Maiden tickets, Greenberg?
Do I want Iron Maiden tickets?
It was last night, idiot.
I'm aware. I wanted to make the offer in case he couldn't make it, and then at least we offered.
But
and
no, then, you can't offer after the show's already been done.
I actually saw them. I've seen them three times. I saw them last time they came through. Johnny Cakes Allville got me a ticket, and we went together. So I have seen them, so there's no hard feelings that I missed out on this time around.
Well, but if you and Lamphill could have played it cool, we would have just gotten credit for offering.
No, man.
Yeah.
Everybody already probably sitting there saying, fool, the concert passed already.
Greenberg doesn't know that this email's from yesterday.
Greenberg is an intelligent man. He would probably be like, JP was stupid.
Now, if you would have said Metallica, which is coming up, then I would take you up on
that. That's what he's offering you, Greenberg.
You know what?
He's going to pay for what he said.
Greenberg, I know a fella that has a bald head, and his name is in the rafters at Northwest Stadium. And Metallica, I believe, is playing Northwest Stadium.
If I call
Stadium.
And ask for Metallica ticket, they're going to say, you know you're not going there.
I think you and Greenberg should go to Metallica.
Oh, we can tape it. We can do like a video thing.
A TikTok. Greenberg and B. Mitch make a Metallica TikTok. Neil, did the Commanders get screwed last week against the Steelers?
We weren't done any favors. I think it obviously looked like, I assume you mean the Eckler first down. It looked like it was a first down. That's tough because I think Washington wins that game. They had a couple of bad bounces. That's probably the first game this year that they lost, right? I would say that they lost that game in terms of they just had to slip away from them. But yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, we're talking about a team that is clearly ahead of schedule. A win in against Pittsburgh, I think, changes a lot of minds that weren't already changed about the team. Could have gone either way, but yeah, I think that they were robbed a little bit.
Specifically on the Ertz spot or what?
Yeah, the Ertz spot, I think, for sure. Could you look
early.
At the... I've seen a lot of still frame videos, and it looked like he was past the line. Now, I get the line on TV isn't the line that's the actual line. But we're talking about a couple of, fractions of an inch maybe. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one. I mean, I think, you know, the analytics say that Washington should have won that game when you adjust for factors like turnover luck and third and fourth down conversions, et cetera. They probably should have won that game by a field goal and said they lost by one. I think it's okay, though. I mean, this is a game. It's okay. I mean, I think Washington's still very much in the mix for the division. I think they're still very much in the mix for the NFC. They were never going to go undefeated. There's going to be losses here and there. I think the only knock on the Commanders right now is the two losses that have come against perceived good teams. So I think a lot of people still have doubts about them.
But think about this, though, Greenberg. I know people keep saying that Those perceived good teams lost to horrible teams. Think about that.
So, oh, I'm with
what
you.
Is like, that? I'm asking overall, not saying you. What does that mean then? Like, the perceived good teams lost to trash teams.
I think it's people looking for an excuse, to be honest. I think they're looking for an excuse to justify their priors of this Washington team was not supposed to be good this year.
Okay.
So I think that there's a lot of yeah buts, right? And I think I've talked about this before. I mean, the NFL is in a no-win situation because if you beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, you're still a fraud. And if you lose the teams that you're not supposed to lose to, you're a fraud. Like, it's very difficult to shake that type of mentality around a team unless you're blowing out, like, you know, the Ravens by 50 and then you follow it up with blowing out the Steelers by 50 and then the Eagles by 50. Like that just doesn't happen in the NFL. There's going to be some weird stuff, fluky bounces, bad spots, weird penalties, et cetera. I think it's fine. 7-3, you know, headed into the more than the halfway point of the season. I think it's going to be good. Obviously, big test against Philadelphia on short rest. And then you still have two more against Dallas in the division. The division is still very much up for grabs.
Division is very much up for grabs. A lot of it
totally.
Tomorrow night will go a long way in deciding who grabs it. Let me ask this, Greenberg. I don't know how you analytically answer this, right? Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, knows the numbers, sports analytics, betting, all of it. Did Washington lose that game? Did the Steelers win it? Was it a choke?
Yeah, I think that Washington lost it. I think if you play that game 100 times, Washington comes away a winner most of the time. You know, the biggest gain for the Steelers in terms of, like, the analytically the biggest gain was on a punt return fumble recovery. You know, stuff like that you can't really count on from week to week. And those are the things that the analytics try to tease out and adjust for, because that's not really what the true talent level of a team is. Like, we don't see many punt return fumble recoveries. So even though they count as points on the scoreboard, we try to mitigate that a little bit when we're looking at the underlying true talent level. I think it was just a game that Washington lost. I think it's, in the overall grand scheme of things, I don't really think it changes anything. I still think Washington's a top 10 team. I think a lot of the objective power rankings out there will have them as a top 10 team. I know the subjective rankings are normally by record, so they're going to be up there as well. I think this is a good football team that still is trying to figure some stuff out, and they lost a close one, and, you know, their bigger test is on short rest in tomorrow night.
What's your overall assessment of the team? As you just look at it, without analysts, you see them play, you watch them play against different teams. When you look at them, what do you come away with?
They're a good team. They're a well-coached, well-put-together team. It's not easy to put all these new parts in. You know, you have the off season to get them up to speed, sure, but they're 7-2. They're 7-3 when many thought that they wouldn't win more than six games. So I do think they're very well coached. I think Dan Quinn in particular, and I'm not in the locker room, but this is just for me as an outsider, sees him as one of these player coaches that's not necessarily like he's buddy buddy with you, but it's more like the players seem to know that he has their back, mm-hmm. and he commands respect, right? Like, that to me is also a player's coach. It's not just a guy that, you know, maybe like you goof off with in the locker room or whatever. I think he's really got command of this team. I think there's an adult in the room that commands a lot of respect, and I get the sense that the players enjoy playing for him. So I think it's a very well-coached team. I think that they're obviously exceeding expectations. But there's just a lot to like with this team on offense, obviously, but also the defensive improvement. I'm really impressed with what they've done this year.
There's a lot to be impressed by, and I'm glad you said all. But now tell the world where you have them in your power rankings. This is where you always make everybody mad.
Oh, I don't know if they'd be mad. I have them, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th. I have them 11th, but they're tied for 11th with the Bengals. So, really, I have them in, like...
With the Bengals, they destroyed the Bengals.
Yeah, but it's you know how this works. It's not just, like, one game type thing. But, you know, that's fair. I think the better way to look at this is there's a clear, like top three teams in my opinion. Detroit, Baltimore, and I would even put Buffalo in there. Or you can kind of put Detroit and Baltimore and then kind of separate it. Buffalo, Philadelphia, Kansas City. And then I think you have like another group of like the 49ers, Chargers, Cardinals, Steelers, Bengals, Commanders. You know, like they're all bunched up. And you can move them up and down in these tiers any way that you want. I wouldn't really find any quibble with that. But I think that they're solidly like in the, you know, in the they're solidly in the NFC contender category. And regardless of like where I have them ranked in terms of points, like I think there's only a handful of teams in the NFC where you can legitimately make a case that they're better, right? Detroit, Philadelphia, maybe, depending on how you feel about them. San Francisco, if they're healthy. And then I think Washington's right there. So I think that, you know, in terms of the NFC, they're very well positioned, and I think my rankings reflect that.
I asked you about the Chiefs. The Chiefs haven't played a good game yet. They're still undefeated. Should the rest of the league say, damn, if they start playing well, we're in trouble, or what?
Yes. I mean, they're 9-0, and they have the best quarterback in the game. I would say arguably one of the best coaches in the game. They just got a new receiver who can stretch the defense and kind of gives Patrick Mahomes something else to work with. You know, the fact that they're 9-0 is a little bit scary, right? And then they add DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you know, like you said, Patrick Mahomes hasn't played like out of this world, right? Like he had the game against San Francisco was kind of a clunker. They're winning a lot of one score games. But they're also the two-time champion, and I mean, I'm not counting them out by any means. I do think they probably deserve to have like maybe 6 wins instead of 9. But even 6 wins in the NFL this year is still pretty good. So yeah. I think that they're obviously a top contender, and I don't think you would find a team in the league that would say, you know, they have any interest playing Kansas City with any sort of stakes on the line.
All right, so specific to that, our friend Drew Cohen is a big listener of the show and a buddy of ours. He's very smart. So everyone will recognize that this question is not really coming from me. Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here. You can follow Greenberg at N Greenberg, sports writer and stats geek, not nerd, for the Washington Post. Okay, so Drew, analytical mind. He wants to understand what, if any, ways numbers can show. Like we're just talking about the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been losing in the fourth quarter throughout the season and go on to win. And Mahomes might throw picks, but he doesn't do it late, right? Like, I bet if you go and track Pat Mahomes' interceptions, the vast majority come in the first half of games. And I don't know what WEPA stands for, but, like, is there a way to track that sort of stuff for teams that make plays late to win ball games?
Yeah, I mean, we can track anything. I mean, we can track anything. The challenge becomes how much do you weight it, right? Like, how much does that really factor in? And there's an argument to be made that, you know, really good teams don't trail in the fourth quarter that much, right? Like there's a stat out there, the fourth quarter comebacks. You have to be losing in order to have the comeback. So, you know, like how much weight do we really give to that? And that's really what people are trying to figure out in analytical circles, especially. And that's really, like, that's probably the biggest inroads of, like, artificial intelligence and machine learning is, you know, how much do we weight this stuff? Like, how much do we actually put, you know, how do we adjust for a team that's losing, 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 and then all of a sudden starts to win? Like, if there's the talent to win games, why isn't it expressing itself in the first three quarters and only the fourth quarter, right? Like, that's kind of the question that we're looking at and just trying to figure it out. I don't have an exact answer because we're still trying to figure it out, but that's really, like, the crux of the next frontier of analytics is, you know, figuring out not only what matters but by how much it matters. And, you know, that also gets into, you know, how much could we quantify these intangibles, the leadership values, the, you know, locker room presence and, you know, on the field, off the field type stuff. I mean, there's a lot that we don't know yet, but that's certainly one of them, and it's a great question.
We're still
trying to figure it out.
It shows that the eyes and analytics are very similar because if you throw that interception in the first quarter and you throw a touchdown in the at the last quarter on the last drive and you win the game, nobody remembers what you did early.
Sure.
That's right.
Even
that's
in right. analytics, you know. And I think the eye test will tell you when a guy needs to make it and he makes the plays, that's all people are concerned about. Tony Romo is not like, because Tony Romo threw interceptions and had fumbles late in games. The dude threw 4 interceptions in the season, 6 in the season, but people still thought he was awful because he threw them at the most inopportune times.
Right, and how much of that, you know, and how much of that is really relevant, right? Like, if you think about it, you know, even like the opposite of it, like if you're up by 20 and, you know, you tack on another touchdown, like how much is that extra touchdown really worth? Right, like you could argue, it's
depending
not worth
on what side you bet on.
Yeah, it depends what the number is.
True. I'm saying, like, just in the game, right? Like in a game setting type thing, like, you know, winning by 20, winning by 27. You know, like, what's the incremental value of that? Like, there's just a lot of stuff that we're trying to figure out. People say that they have it figured out. I mean, I don't buy it. And honestly, if someone does have it figured out, you're probably not going to hear about it because it's very valuable. Mostly in the context of what you just said in terms of betting, like, you know, figuring out team strength and all that other stuff. But yeah, it's a great question and it's something that we're still learning.
What do you think happens tomorrow night? And give me a quick overview update.
I think Washington struggles against Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia's really coming to their own. Jalen Hurts, especially. Ovechkin, best scorer on the planet, has been for a while. Doesn't need to catch Gretzky to prove that. At least not to me, but he certainly will have to do it to prove it to many. You know, we are witnessing true greatness. Enjoy every possible second of it.
Except for the Canadians who are haters. Everybody recognizes Ovechkin's greatness.
he's the greatest to ever do it.
We recognize your greatness, Greenberg. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
That's our friend Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow at NGreenberg. That's what we do on this program. We recognize greatness. And if you're looking to buy or sell a house in the DMV, you got to work with the greatest, John Leahy.
Just like John and Catherine, they were retiring and preparing to move to upstate New York. But the one thing that was complicating the matters too much was they needed to sell their Silver Spring home while attempting to buy their next one. Leave it to John and his team. They went in and they made things work out. Well, all of a sudden, in 13 days, they sold that house for $730,000, which was $5,000 over the asking price. And if you're looking for your own stress-free transaction, reach out to John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. They will make sure that they take care of everything you need, and it's going to be a seamless transition. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens, and if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
I mean, those are the kinds of things that separate John from the competition. You know what else helps? He's got a lot of people ready to buy your house. He has more than 10,000 buyers ready to buy that have already been verified. There's things John can do for you that the competition just can't, and a lot of it is just going to make your sales process easier. What if you're uncertain? Why don't you go to his website, johnsellsdmv.com. Check out the home valuation tool. See how much your house is worth. Then look around, see what other houses are out there. And if you want to move, have a conversation with John. That's the type of dude he is. He'll shoot you straight. If your house is worth it, if the next house is right for you and your family, you've got options. John knows what they are, and he can make the process easy. That's what you really want in this world. Time is our most precious resource. John will make it easy. Call him today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Packing some yacht rock.
38 Special.
Shout out to 38 Special. Don't they also sing Black Betty? That doesn't sound like the same band.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. News. Colts going back to Anthony Richardson. Good luck with all that.
I'm going to ask you a question. Was that based off of the coach, or did the owner call and say that?
Flacco's been bad, too. I don't know.
Flacco is throwing less than 46% completion rate. I doubt that, seriously.
I mean, I don't know that anybody.
Well, if Anthony has played bad and Flacco played bad, shouldn't they be replacing somebody up front?
So last week against the Bills, when did they go to Flacco? After the Houston game was when he checked himself out, right? What would you do if the quarterback pulled himself out because he was tired?
That's at that point.
Don't you think that's benchable?
At that point, I think I'm going back to him because the team, when he quit on the team, they don't want to deal with that anymore. Let him check himself out again. Maybe he should get in shape instead of just thinking about how he could flip. He could do all these backflips and all that. Get in shape, dude.
All right, here's where we are. Richardson has started 6 games. Flacco has started 4, okay? In 4 starts from Flacco. Now, he's played a little bit more because he's coming in relief.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got 4 starts. They've each played in 6 games.
Okay.
So we'll just say 6 games to make it kind of even. The Colts have a 1-3 record. He's completing 66% of his passes. He's averaging about 200 yards a game, 195 a game, with 9 touchdowns and 5 picks.
That's Flacco.
Flacco.
He's also been
sacked 13 times.
But you tell me that's worse than what you're about to tell me now?
Nope.
All right.
But they have one more. In Richardson's 6 starts, the team is 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
He's completing. It's hard to read these as NFL numbers. He's completing 44% of his passes, averaging about 160 pass yards per game, 4 touchdowns against 7 picks. He's been sacked 9 times. Now, it's fair to add on the rushing yards here.
Okay.
For Richardson, 41 carries, 240 yards with a touchdown, 17 first downs on the ground. He's averaging about 6 yards per carry on the ground. But, Brian, he's also fumbled 6 times.
Okay. So that's 15.
If you're going scores to turnovers, which is the modern way to look at this
thing.
He's
going 1-2. Oh, no.
5-13. 5-13.
Damn near 1-3. 1-2.7. 2.6.
Whereas Flacco's 9-5. What do you think Joe Flacco's rushing totals are on the season?
Probably minus 20.
Well, it's kind of BS because they no longer take sack numbers away from rushing.
Okay, so he has 22 yards.
25.
I told you I'm close with this stuff, dog.
8 carries. 2 first downs, though. Flacco's got 3 fumbles. Now, I don't know if those are fumbles lost. Yeah, they need to represent fumbles lost, not just fumbles. But I don't know. Good luck in Indy. Somehow people will keep saying how good Chris Ballard is at his job. I don't have a relationship with that dude. I know how some of this works when GMs are really smart about being good to the media, mm-hmm. and they just kind of continue to be employed. So good to him. Good for him. I did want to talk about another roster move. This is not in Indiana. This is here, right? Do you remember there was some excitement when Washington paid up a little bit to sign Chig Anuzium, the cornerback from Colorado State, as a drafted free agent? You remember that?
Yeah.
So here is the reality is when you have a guy on your practice squad, any other team can sign that player. They just have to put them to their active roster.
Okay.
So long, Chig Anuzium.
Gone.
Gone. Mm. Guess where? You're good at this. Now, you have 1-31 shot here, so I don't know how good you'll be at this.
Eagles.
No.
Giants.
Cleveland.
Ugh, I was going to keep going to NFC East teams.
I think a whole thing, a lot of folks are going to say, oh, my gosh, we're so bad at corner. Why didn't he play? If they're so bad at corner and he didn't play, tells you.
That should tell you a little something.
Like, at some point, you got to believe in what the staff here knows. Ideally, you know, you have a long time to develop somebody. That's one of the nice parts of the practice squad is you get more time mm-hmm. to really
have some development go on inside of these NFL buildings where that usually wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But Anusium's gone, and he's on their active roster now, so I wouldn't hold your breath for him to come back. All right, what I wanted to do, and the great Landini has Dan Quinn's presser from yesterday. I want to let you hear this, B. I asked him about the late bye week, and one thing I really like about DQ is there's just no excuses ever.
Yeah.
And I think Ron wanted to be a no-excuse guy, but then kind of just like couldn't help himself and made them all the time. Mm-hmm. They don't get a bye week until the middle of December. They've been playing football since late July. Dan Quinn on the impact of a late bye week. Number 12, Lanville.
When you get to it, then it'll be good. So I would say I look at it that way to say who wouldn't want a late bye, you know, as this team goes. But as you're getting to that spot, there's challenges that go with that. I don't necessarily think of the team before they had one, but I do think about how it does affect some practices if a position group may have, you know, more vulnerability to injuries than other, then you do have to adjust your practices. Having a Thursday game, it happens quickly, but I do think it favors a group like ours. This is a really tough-minded group. And so if you told them it was going to be on a Wednesday, they'd be down for it. And so I do think short weeks, it's hard, but it also favors guys who are like, hey, man, I'm down for the fight, and I'll be ready, and whatever it takes kind of attitude. And we got a lot of those kind of guys with a big, giant-sized chip on their shoulder. And so Thursday short, they would have done it on Wednesday if they had to.
I like that. I tend to agree with him.
Yeah.
You know, you and I haven't talked about this. Sam Cosmi addressed the team after the loss to the Steelers and just told those guys they're all brothers and they're going to keep fighting.
There you go.
And a lot of times I'd be skeptical of that kind of messaging. It's real in that room.
Yeah, but I think the whole thing about it is when you get someone who is not that person speaking, you get people who just want to act like, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, we lost, got a camera in front of me or whatever. Or I got somebody.
We've seen that.
We've seen that. But I think Sam has grown into becoming a leader of this team. He never forced it, but now he's at that position. And he's letting his voice be heard. But, you know, that's the message you always have to tell. Make sure guys understand, listen, man, we're in this thing. People outside of us are going to start questioning and saying different things, talk about the offense, defense, but no, we got to stay connected. And if they stay connected, it's all that matters. They got to depend on each other.
Staying connected will be vital, especially against Saquon Barkley. Number 3, Landfill.
Yeah, he's an incredible player. I think the combination, you know, where he can take somebody's leverage and try to work outside because he has the speed to go and then the ability to spin or to change leverage. And so that, to me, is a factor in itself, the ability to start and stop, you know, with that explosive nature that he has and try to break somebody's leverage. So the tackling, the angles, you want to make sure that point is really hammered home over and over. So that, yeah, he's an incredible player, great hands, you know, the run game, the pass game. So when you see him in the Giants doing similar things and now doing similar things here, that transfers.
Saquon's a problem. What about Brian Robinson, a hell of a running back in his own right? Will he be good to go for tomorrow night's game against the Philadelphia Eagles? You'll hear from B-Rob next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. If you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, has you covered with Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Now every Wednesday, you can get parlay profit boosts on everything from spreads to over and unders and even player props. So don't let the weekends have all the fun. Take advantage of Hump Day Parlay's reward stack. Who knows? It might just become your favorite day. Look for Hump Day Parlay's reward stack in FanDuel app and to find your profit boost. New to FanDuel? Visit FanDuel.com/Brian. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
How do you win time of possession? Typically, it's long drives.
Yeah.
It's converting third downs.
Yeah.
Early in the year, they were really, really good on converting third downs. If you look at just kind of the efficiency, they stayed ahead of the sticks. In their four wins from week two to week five, they were 7-14 on third down week two. That was against the Giants at home. Then they had the back-to-back road trips, 5-9 on third down at Cincinnati in that Monday night wild one. Week four in Arizona, probably their best, most complete game of the year, 9-12 on third downs in the desert. That's crazy efficient.
Hell yeah.
Then they get back home. Week five was against the Browns, 8-17. That's 55%. I mean, that's really good.
8-17 is not 55%.
That's about 48. 45%. Then you get to the Ravens' loss, which I've separated because that was a loss. So week 7, 8, and 9, they win three in a row. But the third down efficiency really starts to dip. 5-10, 5-15. And then the week 9 win in New York in the Meadowlands, B, was the first win this season where they lost time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
And they were only 5-12 on third downs.
Okay.
Hard to not notice that that was also one of the three games Brian Robinson was out, and it was the only win with Brian Robinson out. But they're 5-12 on third down and losing TOP. So it's just kind of interesting to
because
look at this.
When Brian is in there, the play action and all those different little things makes a world of difference. Where those linebackers get sucked up, and then you can hit them right over the top of them, you know. So it's things work hand in hand.
So with that, there's a big question: if B-Rob could go tomorrow night, Brian Robinson spoke with the media on Tuesday.
You know, I can't. It's not my decision, obviously, but I think I have a really great chance. You know,
how much has the hamstring improved? Like, what have you noticed, like, differently over the last couple days or weeks?
I've improved tremendously. A lot of things, a lot of movements I haven't been able to make. You know, over the last couple of weeks, you know, starting to build confidence in again. So, you know, that was the biggest thing with a hamstring is, you know, building the confidence back in, you know, your strength. And I feel like I've been able to do that.
Is there a certain drill or test you have to do during the, you know, during pregame warmups on Thursday to kind of know, all right, feels good, let's go?
I mean, everything I do from start to finish, you know, is going to, you know, help me, you know, determine, you know, where I'm at and how I feel. So, you know, that process starts, you know, as soon as I wake up in the morning. So, just looking forward to that.
Have you been able to go do an all-out sprint yet? Have you tested it like that?
No, that. I feel like, you know, once it's time for me to run and sprint, you know, I'll feel good to do that.
What's that sound like to you, B?
He wants to go, but they are making a decision, and they're going to let him know when he can or when he can't.
How does that sound for tomorrow night?
You know, play with it a little bit.
I don't think that's it now. There's always perhaps some level of gamesmanship. I thought, when did Jaden hurt his ribs? I don't even remember now. I thought there was legitimate gamesmanship that week when he hurt the ribs, and then there was just no announcement until, I guess it was the Bears game, wasn't it? He hurt him against the Panthers, and then it was the Bears game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was some level of gamesmanship. Why not take it all the way to the end of the week? But it really started to feel by Thursday that he was playing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the case because B-Rob's now missed three games this year. A hamstring, as you well know, B, Jaden's injury shows a lot of guts by Jaden, shows a lot to be impressed about by him because it's largely a pain tolerance thing. What can you get through?
Mm-hmm.
Hamstring ain't that because you can make it worse.
I understand that, but like I told you, I played with a guy that didn't practice all week but played in the games and balled out.
Sure, but he's missed the last two.
Yeah, but he missed the last two, which means he could be healthy now.
He might be. I'm not saying one way or another. That's why we're in freaking Ashburn today, is because mm-hmm. we want to try to get as much information as possible. I don't know, but looking at that data I just kind of talked about, the third downs, If you look at their last four games, the third down efficiency has really taken a hit. And then, I mean, hell, in the Steelers game, even the fourth down efficiency took a hit. They converted 5 of 14 against the Steelers. Not great numbers, man. And they were so good at staying on the field, getting those long drives, staying ahead of the sticks, makes third down easier. You definitely saw against Pittsburgh that kind of was not the case. They saw way more 3rd and 8, 3rd and 11, those sorts of things. I don't think you can do that against Philly. Mm-hmm. Now, what can you do against Philly? Our guy, Dave Zangaro, joins us next to figure that out.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.